Welcome to the Oakland Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Senior Pastor Randy Bain. It's our prayer that this message encourages you and strengthens you. For more information and for other resources, visit us at oaklandonline.org.
I know it wasn't announced, but it's on the front of your bulletin. We are undecorating the church today. Now, I know a lot of the undecorating has already happened, but after this service, we'll need to clear the chairs, and we will probably clear the trees, I think, anyway. Is that the plan? So if you can help with that, we would love to have you, and then we'll be stowing stuff. You know how that goes, right? Packing stuff away. But amen. Well, you should have a flyer like this in your bulletin. If you didn't get a bulletin, you should pick one up because it's a very nice flyer. And it actually gives you the sermon series, which is entitled Maranatha. And it will run us through third week in February, which is the last Sunday before Lent. Lent is that six-week period that leads up to Easter. So for all the you that are skiers, sorry we're talking about Easter already. But for those of you who are not, be encouraged. We're talking about Easter already, so that's encouraging. But no, we'll be looking at that. This will be our series, and we're going to be looking at the second coming, the end of the age. And I just, people have asked me, did you ever think that the Lord would tarry this long? And I got saved in the 70s, and I remember back then calculating how old I would be when we hit 2000, and I never thought we'd reach that. So we're 23 years, 22 years beyond that, but I think this is a significant, important time. As we think about revival, and we think about a new awareness of the promises of God and the impending return of our Lord. Our scriptures this morning are going to read a big section of Matthew 24. Matthew 24 is the section of prophecy that Jesus gives the disciples. If you have one of those red letter edition Bibles, red letter means the words of Jesus are in red. This would all be in red because these are his words. So hear the word of God from Matthew 24, begin with verse 27. For just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to another. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. For when its branches have already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So you too, when you see all these things, recognize that he is near, right at the door. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father alone. For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then there will be two men in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding in the mill. One will be taken and one will be left. Shall we pray? Lord, thank you for the promises of your word, the challenges of your word, and Lord, the challenges of this thinking for our generation. The days may be short. Today is the day to get in to the ark of safety, to be a child of God awaiting the return of their king. Do a work of grace in our hearts. Stir us, Lord, with the conviction and courage and power. May your will be done in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The memory verse I actually picked from Revelation 22, this is about the third to the last verse or the next to the last verse in the Bible. Revelation 22, verse 20. Would you join me? and recite this together. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Revelation 22:20. Amen. Well, many Christians have heard the word Maranatha. Many of us really don't know exactly what it means. If you do a search, I mean, you can always do that, a quick search of Maranatha on the internet, you will find thousands of sites that all claim that name. There is a record label that claims the name Maranatha. There is churches, thousands of churches that claim the name Maranatha. There are universities, multiple ones that have that as their name. There are volunteer ministries. There's a Christian tour company in Israel that calls that name. There's dance studios. There are camps, multiple camps that claim that. And there's a clothing line, Maranatha. So there's Maranatha's everywhere. But what does it mean? What's interesting, the word Maranatha is only found one place in the Bible, and that isn't even in Revelation 22:20. It is in 1 Corinthians 16:22, almost the last verse in 1 Corinthians. And there it says, if anyone does not love the Lord, he is to be accursed, Maranatha. And of course, Maranatha is an Aramaic word, and it's what we call a transliterated word. Transliteration means you don't translate the word, you just take the consonants or the letters that correspond in English and write them down. So if it's written in Aramaic, the M in Aramaic, you just write an M for in English. It's kind of like the word hallelujah. In the Old Testament Hebrew, hallelujah is literally a Hebrew word, but we have just put letters and spelled it in English. Or in Greek, you say alleluia, because they don't really have an H, so we just spell it differently. But Maranatha is the same way. It's an Aramaic word that means either come, Lord Jesus, or the Lord has come. We're not quite sure, depending on how you translate it. But it's Aramaic is an old Hebrew, is similar to ancient Hebrew language, and it's believed to be the language that was spoken of when Jesus lived on the earth. So scholars believe that Jesus would have spoken Aramaic. And if you know the Passion of the Christ, remember that movie that came out a few years ago? They worked very hard to do the Passion of the Christ in Aramaic. And so if you watch it in English, you know you always see subtitles. So it's because we don't know what they're saying in Aramaic. I don't know if anybody really knows. I mean, some people probably do. But anyway, that's what Aramaic comes from. So as I said, it's only found that one place in 1 Corinthians. And in English translations, sometimes it doesn't even say Maranatha. It'll say the Lord come, come Lord, or the Lord has come, something like that. But the other parallel to that is that Revelation 22:20 passage. And we find an exact parallel where it says, amen, come, Lord Jesus. Now, of course, the rest of the New Testament is in Greek, a New Testament Greek, kind of a common, kind of like Greekese, kind of like Americanese for English. That would be the Greekese kind of, that's the language it is in. And that's how this is written in Revelation. Well, the sermon series, as I said, is going to focus on the return of Christ, the end of the age. And we're really going to use Matthew 24 as kind of a launching pad. Matthew 24 and 25 are Jesus' words, teaching prophecy, explaining prophecy, prophesying to the disciples. And of course, as we look at that, so we're going to be all over the scripture. That's why I didn't give you one particular scripture, because we're going to be all over the Bible. But we're going to use those quotes out of Matthew 24 and 25 as a launching point, because it's interesting, in Jesus' prophecy in those two chapters, almost every prophecy on the second coming, almost every prophecy of the end of the age can be traced back to a phrase in that in this chapters. And like a good example where it says about where the carcasses are, there the vultures will be gathered. Like, what is that? Ugh. Well, if you read like the great Battle of Armageddon, what it talks about, there will be vultures and wild animals will come and eat the bodies of all the deceased people that are there. I mean, there's a connection almost in every phrase you can find that. Now, let me set the setting for this. Jesus and his disciples, this is the Holy Week. This is the last week on earth. They're in Jerusalem. Remember, they were kind of avoiding Jerusalem because every time they got there, they tried to kill Jesus, so they like kind of stayed away. But they come back to Jerusalem for this week, Holy Week, And as they're touring, they're actually leaving the Temple Mount, they're leaving the temple area, and the disciples are kind of like in the awestruck stage. You know, like, can you imagine going through, like, oh, wow, look at that, and oh, wow, look at that, look at that, oh, look at this. And they were pointing out all these beautiful sights to Jesus. Well, they left the Mount of Olives. If you've been to Israel, there's a little valley down into the Kidron Valley, and then a big hike up the other side, which to the east, which is the Mount of Olives. And I kind of picture, it tells us when they got to the Mount of Olives, they sat down. Or I can kind of picture they're kind of winded a little bit, like, okay, let's just take a break here now. We climbed the mountain. And if you're standing on the Mount of Olives looking west, you see the beautiful view of Jerusalem. And it's at that point where they sit down, they say, well, look, the Lord says, you see all this? It's all going to be torn down. It'll all be destroyed. And they go, when? Tell us about it. And then Jesus begins to prophesy. And so that's where the setting is. And so the first thing we notice in this passage is that Jesus tells them, don't be misled. Now, verse 24 says, false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead many, if possible, even the elect. And if you read that earliest verses in Matthew 24, he says, troubling times are coming. And he says, you need to plan for the long haul. And so, as I said, I didn't expect Jesus to wait this long. Well, he's still waiting. So don't think this is going to be, everything's going to be over in a flash. I know a lot of times when something happens, and in our culture, a lot of things have been happening, we often say, okay, Lord, now's a good day. Come back today. And the message is, troubling times will come, but you need to plan for the long haul. And don't worry, you won't miss it. If someone tells you the Messiah has come, or this new person is the Messiah, or this is the new thing you need to do, it says, don't be misled. When Jesus comes back, we'll all know it. We won't miss it. Many will come. He says, many will come in my name and will mislead many. He says, you will hear wars and rumors of war. He says, nation will rise against nation. There will be famine and earthquakes. There'll be persecution. There'll be tribulation. I know a lot of times people in America, we go around with a chip on our shoulder, like, yeah, someone like said a dirty joke in front of me. Like, what persecution I have at work. I'm like, really? That's persecution? We have families, we have people around the world that are losing their heads for the gospel. They're having their hands cut off. They're losing their families, their properties. I mean, there are people that are under severe persecution. Don't beat yourself up, you know? We need to get toughened up. We need to live the Christian life with courage. It says, many will fall away. It says, because of the lawlessness, love of many will grow cold. And boy, I look around our world, and America, there is so much lawlessness. A lot of people's love for one another is growing cold. So sad. Verse 13 and 14, I didn't read this one, but it's here, Matthew 24. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. Don't be misled. False Christ will come. False teaching will come. Do not fall for it. Don't turn away. Terrible times are coming. The word Maranatha might be the prayer on many Christians' mouths. You know, it's only Christians cry out for Jesus to come. Nobody else wants him to come. You know? No, we don't want him to come. We don't even know if we believe in him. You know, we don't want him, but Christians do. And in these times of struggle, we cry out, Lord, I need you here. Or we can be crying out, Lord, I believe you're here. Help me. Jesus said in John 16, in the world you'll have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. You know, if you say that, if you cry out for the Lord, you can kind of be doing it in two ways. One, you can be crying out, I'm in a mess. You know, but it's kind of interesting. In both services this morning, we sang songs about how we need him. I need you now. I need you. And I probably resonated as much with that song as much as any. Like, yes, Lord, it's I need you. I can't do this without you. You know, you are my all in all, and I'm yours. We can cry out, Maranatha, come, Lord, I need you. Or maybe you can say it as a testimony, a statement of faith. If it's translated, the Lord has come. You can say, Lord, you have come. You are living in me by the Holy Spirit. By your power, I can do all things through Christ. It can be a statement of faith. when troubling times come. I can do all things through Christ. Often said, when I face opposition, I kind of mumble under my breath, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this. And then the Lord reminds me, I can do all things through Christ. I'm like, okay, yes, Lord, I can do all things. You know, you need to keep, it can be a statement of faith. In our communion service, it's kind of interesting. As I said, it's only found one place, Maranatha, it's only found one place in the Bible. But in the early writings of the church fathers, in the Didache, Didache, whatever you want to say it, they do say the word Maranatha. And they use it often with conjunction with Holy Communion. And it's kind of interesting, even that 1 Corinthians passage is kind of saying, if you're not right with God to take Holy Communion, you know, let you be, you know, anathema or, you know, condemned. Then it says, the Lord come. And so the early church fathers would cry out to that. But in our communion service, during that great Thanksgiving prayer that we do, there is a little phrase where you reply, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. And that threefold announcement, statement of faith, is really almost like crying out Maranatha. The Lord has come. Come, Lord, come quickly, come again. So let's as we think about this, don't be misled. Don't follow other teachings. Stay focused on the Lord. And secondly, you won't miss it. You won't miss it. Someone says he's already come. You know, no, don't believe. You will know when he comes. You know, we often do those jokes. I often joke about missing the rapture. If you're trying to compliment somebody, you know, I'll say like, well, you know, I saw Nancy was here, so I know I didn't miss the rapture, you know, because she's still here, you know, or something like that. The other day, Darlene was away, and I wanted to ask her a question, so I called her, and her phone rang in the dining room. I'm like, oops, she didn't take her phone with her. So then I called the person she was with, said, can you have Darlene call me, or I need to talk to Darlene? And they replied, well, she's not with us. I'm like, did I miss the rapture? You know, it turned out she was in the basement. She came in the other door, and I didn't see her. And anyways, it's okay. You know, I've heard about college kids doing that. Back in the 70s, there was a big revival. I was part of that. I got saved during the 70s. I've heard people, like, we always talked about the second coming, and we talked a lot about the rapture. And people would play pranks on someone. They would, when someone was out of their room, like their dorm room, they would lay clothes out like on the bed or like on the floor or by the chair. And then they would hide. And when the person came back, they'd see all these empty clothes like, ah, I missed the rapture. You know, because we don't really know what's going to happen, right, when the rapture occurs. When we get taken up to heaven, are these clothes going with me? Are they going to be transformed or are they going to drop off? We don't really know what's going to happen. So that can be a good joke. Don't worry, you won't miss it. Because the trumpets will announce the coming of Christ. Look at verse 27. For just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. From the east and to the west. Amen? Everyone will see. Everyone will know. You don't have to, a few years ago, back around the turn of the century, 1900s, I don't have all the details of this, but it's close. The Jehovah Witnesses actually had a vision that God was coming, but Jesus was coming back. And they went up on a mountain in California and waited. Kind of like a lot of us at Y2K, out with our candles, you know. And nothing happened. So they said, well, he came spiritually. Then they came back down off the mountain. And that was their word. Guess what? You will not miss it. You don't have to make up a story. Because when Jesus comes back, it will be announced. The trumpets will sound. Have you ever been around the Niagara Falls? You ever get close, like you get on the Maid of the Mist? And you get up close and you can feel the falls thundering and your chest is like thundering. It's like, I can feel it. Guess what? That's what the trumpet sound of God is going to be like. It says when you get to heaven, the voice of him is like the voice of many waters. When Jesus speaks, I can't imagine some of you have been in military and have been around explosions. I have not. You know, and I know that it is thundering. That's, everyone will know. As lightning goes from the east into the west, so everyone will see Jesus. We will know that he's here. Let me just give you an example. In Joshua, trumpets seem to be a big deal in the Bible. And I picture the shofar, the trumpet of God. And it says in Joshua chapter 6, when they remember when the Jericho's walls fell down? It says, on the seventh day they rose up early, dawning of the day, and marched around the city in the same manner 7 days. And on that day they marched 7 times, and the seventh time the priest blew the trumpets, and the people shouted, and the walls fell. Not only trumpets, but 7 blasts of the trumpet seem to be important. That will be the revealing sign of the coming of Jesus. There's a trumpet call. It's going to call some of us to wake up. You know, when the thunder and lightning comes, it's kind of too late to get ready for the rain, right? Some of us need to hear the trumpet call a little early because we don't want to wait until we hear the one from God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is one of the passages that talks about the rapture of the church, the return of Jesus, the snatching up of his believers. Verse 16 says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. Remember the Jericho group, they all shouted? With a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. My friends, when the Lord comes back and you hear the trumpet, it's too late, because the dead in Christ will rise immediately. And then we who remain will be translated. 1 Corinthians 15 is a parallel passage. Down around verse 50, it says, behold, I will tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. And finally, in Revelation 14, one of the most, I think, challenging, exciting, scary passages is this, the in chapter 8, after the seventh seal. In the beginning, Revelation is like a scroll rolled up, and the Lamb opens the scroll, and he takes 7 seals off. When he gets to the seventh seal, 7 angels come out with 7 trumpets, and one by one they begin to sound the trumpet. 1, 2, 3. Go ahead, let's hear that. Then the seventh trumpet comes. The 7 angels, the 7 trumpets, and there is a pause, and then the 7th trumpet sounds, and that is, it really begins to describe the judgments that are coming in the return of Christ. Verses 11 through 4, chapter 11 through 14 says, the second woe is past, the third is coming, and that is the 7th trumpet, verse 15. Then chapters 12 and 13 then follow immediately, and it is kind of a dramatic portrayal, a vision like a dream of all the battle between good and evil, the salvation history being worked out. And then we get to chapter 14, and we have this beautiful passage of the harvest of the holy, of the godly, of God's people, and then the judgment upon everyone else. Revelation 14, 6 and 7 says, and I saw another angel flying in heaven, having an eternal gospel to preach to those who live on the earth, to every nation and tribe and tongue and people. And they said with a loud voice, fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. And then if you skip down to verse chapter 14, verses 14 through 20, we get 2 harvests. One, there is an angel who is described to be Jesus, comes out with his sickle and harvests his people. And then another angel comes out, it says, with a sharp sickle, and it harvests the wicked for the wrath of God. It's kind of interesting. Angels are always portrayed as the harvesters. Remember in the parable of the wheat and the tares, or the wheat and the fake wheat? And it says, no, let them grow together, then at the end of the age we'll separate them at the harvest. And if you read the interpretation, Jesus says the angels of God are the harvesters. Another passage where Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me and before this generation, I will be ashamed of you before my Father and the holy angels. The holy angels are the ones that do the dividing. They are the ones that do the harvesting. The angels of God will harvest. My friends, when you hear the last trumpet, it's too late. We need to make sure we're right with God today. Today is the day to be awake. Today is the day to put your faith in Christ. The final point of this passage, I think, for me, is to endure to the end. Endure to the end. It says, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. He goes on to say in verses 42 and 44, it's right after the section I read, that says, therefore be on the alert, for you don't know what hour the Lord is coming. Verse 44, for this reason you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. And then think of how many prophecies talk about being ready, about the long haul, about, you know, hanging in there till the very end. Chapter 25 of Matthew gives you the parable of the bridegrooms. Remember, there were five foolish and five wise. And the five wise ones stuck it out to the end. They were ready, prepared. But the five foolish had to go get oil, and it was too late. It was too late at that point. When the trumpet sounds, it's too late. How can we not lose the faith? How can we endure to the end? I think there's two ways we give up. One, you give up in despair. Just like, my life's a wreck, things are too bad, the world looks too bad, I give up. Yeah, we can do that. What's the option? Despair or God? Right? Put your faith in God, put your hope in Him, or give up. A lot of people have given up in our world. The second way we can give up, I think, is to turn back into worldly sinful behaviors. Say, I'm done waiting, I'm done trusting. And we can go back to cheating and stealing and killing and trying to get ahead on our own. You know, there's a resurgence of witchcraft and white magic in our time. People are all into dabbling in all kinds of darkness, thinking, well, maybe if it's helpful. Well, what if it's helpful? What if it's helpful? What if it's helpful in sending you to hell? You know? Don't get discouraged. Don't get distracted. Don't turn your eyes away from Jesus. The trumpet is going to sound. We want to make sure that we're following, we're listening, we're ready when He calls. Keep the faith. Endure to the end. You know, Revelation, here again, back to Revelation, chapter 2 and 3 of Revelation are these letters to the seven churches. Okay, and there's seven churches, and the message is almost always the same. And in verse 7, it says, to the church at Ephesus, to him who overcomes. To Smyrna, verses 10 and 11, be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Verse 17, to Pergamum, to him who overcomes. Chapter 2, verses 25 and 26, to Thyatira. Nevertheless, what you have, hold fast until I come. Chapter 3, verse 5, Sardis, to him who overcomes. Verses 11 and 12, to Philadelphia. I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have so that no one will take your crown. And of course, the church at Laodicea. It says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, opens the door, I will come in. You know, even as I was reading that passage in Matthew, it talks about he is there even at the door. Here he's knocking at the door. I believe he's knocking at the door now, telling us, get ready, be ready. The challenge for us today is to make sure that we're ready and that we're doing our part. You know, that we can cry out, Lord, come, Lord, come. But there's something we can do to hurry His coming, and as we can preach the gospel. It seems one thing, one of the prophecies that need to take place before He can come is that the whole world hears the gospel. Everybody in your circle, everybody in the globe needs to hear the gospel. Matthew 24:13 says, the gospel of verse 14, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the whole world. Then the end will come. Revelation 14, right before that harvest, it says, I saw another angel flying in heaven, having the eternal gospel to preach to those who live on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. My friends, I'm praying for a supernatural infusion of courage and power by the Holy Spirit upon us. In this day, in this season, we need to proclaim the gospel. You need to be instant in season and out of season. Don't worry what man can do to you, but we want to be faithful witnesses for Jesus Christ. The time is short. People need to hear the gospel. It is time to get your house in order, and that means your personal house, you, but also those around you. I think Maranatha can be a beautiful breath prayer that we pray to God. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. And as I said, we can pray it two ways. Come, Lord Jesus, we need you now. Or it can also be, Lord, you have come. Stir up your power and witness within us that we will share the gospel and lives will be transformed. Bring revival to our time. You know, in both instances, 1 Corinthians 16:22 and Revelation 22:20, the word come, Lord Jesus, is followed by this phrase, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. My friends, if you have put your faith in Christ, the Lord is with you. You can celebrate that. If you haven't, today is the time. Today is the day to get right with God. When the trumpet sounds, it's too late. Today is the day to wake up. Today, the day is to make your peace with God. We're going to close the service right now, and I want to tell you, if you are not right with God today, you can be. The Lord has done everything in His power for you. He has given His life. His Holy Spirit is drawing you, saying, come, come, come. Come, Lord Jesus. Do a work of grace in our hearts, Lord. I pray for convincing upon those that are on the edge. Those hardened hearts, oh God, that are maybe here because they're forced to come. Lord, they weren't here by chance. I pray, oh God, even now, by your softening grace and spirit, you would speak to them, saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Open the door. Let me in. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The altars are open. I invite you to come. Maranatha, might that be your prayer this morning? Come, Lord Jesus, come into my heart.
Thanks for listening to this message from Oakland Church. For more information and for other resources, visit us at oaklandonline.org.